to Regenerative Spaces, a podcast that explores holistic and sustainable paths toward thriving in the fields of agriculture, education, spirituality, and beyond. I'm your host, Stacy Pollice. I'm a regenerative farmer living and working on a 300-acre avocado ranch in Santa Barbara, California. I have a background of 3+ decades as a psychologist, environmental activist, author, and educator. I'm curious about how these different arenas, these ecosystems, if you will, intersect, whether in our schools or our soil. I love studying the factors that allow both individual beings and their surrounding communities to flourish in the long run. I'm here to learn with you. My goal is to create a space where it's safe for all of us to explore and experiment, to make mistakes and to ask new questions. No matter where you're at, let's get curious together and ground ourselves in the sorts of regenerative spaces where abundant possibilities abound. Welcome to our all-new special episode with returning guest Minka Robinson-Stevens about the do's and don'ts of this summer season. Minka is a traditional Chinese medicine and herb specialist, and today she offers us a summer treat with guidance on what foods and herbs we should be indulging in, what we should avoid, and why it's so important to follow the season. She explains her understanding of the element of fire in summer and how it can provide both gifts and vulnerabilities. She shares her view on why our local farmers markets are actually pharmacies, providing exactly the right medicine to stay balanced during the warmest time of the year, allowing us to reap the full joy, light, and vibrance available to us. So grab a cool drink, slap on some sunscreen, and enjoy the always interesting and eye-opening wisdom of nature with Minka. Hi, Minka. How are you today?
I'm great. Stacy, it's great to see you. How are you?
I am good. Enjoying the summer and really just wanting to know more details about the season. I'm thinking of you as our seasonal informant, because this is your third time on this podcast. You have talked to us about fall. You've talked to us about spring so far. And I really just want to keep going so that we have all of your best wisdom on the season. And I'm just going to remind folks that maybe haven't yet listened to the other podcasts that you are a licensed acupuncturist, an herbalist, and a Chinese medical dermatologist. So these are your specialties. I came to you initially because I sometimes get psoriasis. So I had a skin condition. And from there, the rest is history because the adventure continues for us.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's such a treat to be here. Coming to you live from the pharmacy.
Oh, it's beautiful, your pharmacy.
Yeah, I feel so blessed to be able to share the knowledge and the wisdom that's been given to me through my teachers and through East Asian medicine or traditional Chinese medicine, which I have been practicing and studying for the last 20 years. And I'm so excited to talk about the season because, as you know, that's my big passion as both a gardener and an herb grower and an herbal medicine practitioner. There's so much wisdom that Chinese medicine offers us in terms of how we can understand ourselves better by understanding nature better.
That is a beautiful description. And the notion of deepening attunement with nature really is a principle that underlies everything I'm doing right now. And that's just the direction I'm going and where Taoism really informs. And just to say, I think Taoism philosophy and practice is all connected to traditional Chinese medicine, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's the foundation of traditional Chinese medicine. And as you alluded to, the foundation of Taoism is all based in nature and how we observe nature more closely. And from there, the whole system, traditional Chinese medicine or East Asian medicine, is built. And a lot of these traditions have other resonant traditions in Ayurveda. But these traditional medicine practices are almost all based on natural phenomena.
So you're saying the practice of Ayurveda, which comes from India, let's say, or East Asia, has a lot of similarities with traditional Chinese medicine and other more indigenously rooted practices, would you say?
I'd say that it does, because they take their lead from observing nature and trying to understand the patterns in nature and how that influences us as natural beings and our health and wellness. And I think we were talking a lot about seasons and the five elements, or more aptly put, the five phases, which refer to the seasons. And the five phases are what I like to think of as a map to understand these natural relationships. So they're based on observing nature, like observing the fall and the winter and the spring and the summer. And from that observation, a system of correspondences was developed through observation and practice of the medicine. And so we have our five phases or five elements, which are a map of understanding patterns in nature and in ourselves. And they consist of the liver, or the wood element associated with the spring, the heart, or the fire element that's associated with the summer, the earth element, or the spleen and stomach system, which is associated with a late summer, or can also be seen as a transitional season anytime between any of the seasons. And then we move on to the fall, which is associated with the metal element and the lung system. And then finally, the winter, which is associated with the water element and the kidney system. So those are our five main systems, and they run in that order. And it's called the generating cycle. So the wood gives rise to the fire, as the spring gives rise to the summer, and so on and so forth.
And that's where we're at now, is we've just done spring and now we're moving into the summer.
Yes, exactly.
I like to think in terms of absolutes, probably because of the culture I was raised in, but there aren't in nature. It's always a becoming and always a changing.
Yeah, so there are these, even within that system, there's these seasonal nodes, or nodes of which are windows of time within each season. And we see the energy of the previous season maybe waning a bit, and then the next season growing or developing or waxing. So through that process, right now, we're in a more like fulminant full phase of summer. But we'll be heading into this kind of late summer moment where the fall is beginning too. And that's why it's more correct, to your point, to call it the five phases, because an element implies a sort of fixed nature, where a phase is like, oh no, we're always sort of in transition. And that's how Chinese medicine sees things, is this dynamic balance, not a fixed state of balance, but rather this balance that is adaptable and allows for flow and transition and change.
And that is the goal for life. And boy, are we needing it now.
It's true.
Yeah. Adaptation. I'm so into climate, and it's the word adaptation is just big, big, big in nature. I just want to know, how would you begin to help us understand what we need to know as we are in summer? And perhaps also you can talk to us about as we move forward towards late summer and fall.
Well, we're in summer, and I think everyone can recognize that it's associated with a fire element. And we think of it as the most young of all the seasons. And yang is associated with heat, it's associated with day, it's associated with energy and action, whereas yin is more associated with the moon, with darkness, with stillness, with contemplation. And both need each other, of course, but we're in this phase of summer, which is the ultimate yang, right? And so we notice too the heat growing and building. If you're in the northern hemisphere, of course, at this time of year, right? So we have the heat is growing and building both in the climate and in our environments, and then also within the body. And so we have to be mindful as that heat builds and grows. Anything like inflammation that's already existing within the body can build and grow as well. So it's really important for us to kind of look to this system or look to nature and go, okay, well, what can balance that heat? How do I make sure that that heat stays in a good relationship to the other elements in nature and in myself? Because we'll notice with the fire season, it's associated with the heart, as I said earlier, the heart, the small intestine, it has a couple extra, the pericardium, which is a heart protector, and the sanjiao, or triple warmer. And those systems can be agitated if they get overly hot, right? So if the heart or the pericardium or these systems get overly warm from all the yang that we're seeing in nature, this is their resonant time, then we notice things like anxiety or insomnia or palpitations or things, you know, just getting a little too hot and chaotic. The emotion of the fire season or the heart is joy. But if it's excessive, it's thought of as mania, you know, when it's just like a manic phase. And I think we can look around us and see like, oh yeah, there's a sort of chaotic energy. There's this kind of building and this desire to connect, because the heart really desires connection. This desire for play and fun and liberation. When we think of the heart phase too, if we're looking at the seasons, we talked a lot in spring about germination and birth and our tender new shoot, like this fresh, we're bursting out of the seed coat and we're sending our tender little body up through the earth, out into the world, spreading our leaves. And we have this vulnerability and this tenderness in the spring. And then as the spring fills in and fills out, we become more established, more full in our place, in nature and in our life. And we've stretched out, however we're going to stretch out into the season, to prepare for the blossoming of summer, this like openness, you know, the flower develops and then the bud opens to heaven. So we say in Chinese medicine, we're reaching ourselves and our little bodies up toward the sun to open to the light, right? And to connect to one another and to ourselves.
Boy, do I feel that.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. There's a natural desire to connect, to have fun, to go to parties. The sound that's associated is laughter, right? So all this like jubilation and this laughter. But we can see easily how doing too much of that might lead us to a type of like mania. Like too many parties is not great, right? Burning the candle at both ends, and we can become overrun with excitement. And that can disturb our sleep, right? Or make us feel less settled.
Right. I just noticed that recently. I'm having so much fun connecting with friends and playing. And some friends were just visiting and we were all exhausted after a week together because we just played and laughed and talked and just had the best possible time. But it's like, we didn't even do anything. But we all felt it. I needed to do a little quiet to balance.
Because it nourishes the heart. That's its natural thing. It wants to play. It wants to be creative. It wants to open. It wants to connect. And that's a really important phase of our life, right? It's a really important aspect of our life all the time, but particularly in this season. And so it's a natural thing. So that's one of the great things about talking about the seasons and attuning to them and acclimating to them is to go like, oh yeah, this is the time of year where maybe I should be more free with my friendship. Just let myself enjoy the parties and the festivities and coming together, listening to music, having fun. And if you're going like, ooh, like that went a little far and I can't sleep, you know, or I'm feeling anxious, or I have two kids, right? And so I can see it in my kids. It's almost like a difficulty focusing. Like you could prepare a whole watermelon and slice it up to bring to aerial dance and forget that. You could forget why you were going to the bathroom. These things happen. And we can see that in kids, but we also can notice that in ourselves, that it's difficult to focus. And so when we're observing patterns like that, then Chinese medicine and East Asian medicine offers us so much insight into how do we really embrace the joy and the vibrance and the creativity and the exuberance, that like expression of the fire element, while still remaining connected and stable in ourselves.
Okay, so that all makes sense to me. And then it makes me want to ask, I know that you really work with plants and herbs, and I'm curious to know, are there different kinds of plants or different parts of the plant for summer versus, it made me wonder if like the root part is for one time of the year, whereas the flower, I'm drinking this tea that you prepare for summer. So tell us, like, what can we do?
One of the really important things, of course, is like as that heat and yang increases in the body, we need to stay hydrated, right? Because it'll dry up the fluids, dry up the tissue. All the energy is drying. So it's really important to stay hydrated. And so one of the ways that we can balance is to just increase our water intake, right? You can even drop a little Celtic salt or fleur de sel, some natural salt in the water to really help boost the hydration. And also the salt, of course, is related to the water element. It's the flavor of the water element. And that water element is what balances the fire. It sort of controls the fire and keeps the fire in check. We can use that knowledge. Like for me, one of the most balancing things is ocean swimming, because it's full of minerals, it's cooling, it really helps to clear that heat that I might be feeling. And another thing in terms of staying hydrated, so we can do that hydration externally by like being in water and surrounding with water, also internally increasing our hydration. And then you're absolutely right, there's incredible plants and herbs that can help support us during this time. And what's beautiful is that the things that tend to help us stay hydrated, they're ripe right now. And they're filling your farmer's market. And especially in summer, we talked last time, particularly in the fall and also in the spring, about how we don't suggest consuming a lot of raw foods and salads and things like that. But in the summertime, it's okay to have some raw, fresh fruit and some raw, fresh vegetables. And to your point, like in the spring, everything is tender and new. It has a more like neutral or even potentially sour flavor. And then as we move into the summer and the plants are more established and they've had to fend off different pests and things like that, then they develop more tannins, more alkaloids and things like that, and they become more bitter. And bitter is the flavor that clears the excessive heat from the heart. So this fire has like an upward expansive quality, and bitter has a downward clearing function in the body. So it can clear that extra heat.
Interesting. I did not know that. I assumed bitter was spring because I think of like dandelion greens. Are dandelion greens spring or are they summer?
They're spring and they have pungency and they do have bitterness, but the flavor of the spring technically is sour and it soothes the liver. But even when we're doing like you're drinking the five flowers tea. So the five flowers tea is a tea that's traditionally drunk in the summer. It involves five different flowers that change somewhat from region to region. The flowers are light and they float up. So it's thought that they like will float upward to the chest, to the heart. And many of those flowers enter the heart channel. Some of them have some sweet properties and some cooling properties. And what it does is it clears that heat from the heart. It also is detoxifying. And we can use some of those flavors that have a somewhat slightly sour or astringent flavor to help maintain the fluids in the body and supplement the body fluids. But the tea itself, it has also some components to deal with. The other thing that we will notice in the summer sometimes is dampness. It can be like monsoon season. Here in Southern California, we don't have so much monsoons or thunderstorms or things like that, but it's common in the summer and other climates. And that dampness can also agitate our digestion and create more digestive inflammation. So we want to make sure also to supplement and support the digestion. The tea has components for that. The five flowers that I use are Juhua, which is a chrysanthemum, the Jinyinhua, which is a honeysuckle, Lianxiaohua, which is a trumpet flower, and then we also have Meiguihua, which is a rose. And that we can really imagine the heart associated with the rose and the blossoming and opening of the season. And I really love mica or hibiscus. It's also called roselle, which has a really nice tart flavor. It's really rich in vitamin C. It's really rich in antioxidants. It's incredibly important for the cardiovascular system, which is also, it's the vessels in the cardiovascular system that are really associated with the heart or the fire season. So we can pay extra attention to enriching the health of that season. So that roselle or the hibiscus is, I think, a really nice complement to that. And it also brings this kind of tartness and this astringency that really helps supplement our body fluids and protects, because we're sweating a lot, we're running around, we're dancing all night long.
Yeah, on a good night, yeah. Well, it's interesting that himica or hibiscus is a traditional drink in Mexico, so my Mexican friends all know it, and it's quite warm there, so this would be a great antidote to the heat and a lot of sun.
It can be a little bit difficult to find. It has antiviral properties that really strengthens your digestion. It's a way to kind of clear that heat. And we talked a lot about how in the summer, the heart has a relationship to the skin, to the complexion. I notice in my patients, everybody's skin's just going bananas in the summer. There's rosacea, there's eczema flare-ups, there's styes, there's all this kind of heat that's blooming in the skin. And so what we want to do is help clear that out. So we can use some of these herbs to do that. You can get the five flowers tea through us or some other Chinese medicine pharmacies often can create it for you, or you can find it. You can just use jamaica, or you can add a little rose petals into your green tea. Another thing we can do is go like, oh, well, maybe I'll have more green tea instead of coffee because green tea is cooling and coffee is warming. And maybe I'm already warm enough this season.
I remember a friend told me, she had a dream that her grandmother told her that I needed to add just a little bit of rose water to my water that I drink every day. She was from Tunisia. And I think that, you know, another warm climate that where they need that cooling.
It's a really common ingredient in Middle Eastern food and Persian food, using rose, incorporating that flavor. And you can see that, yeah, of course, that would make such great sense because it's called Mei Gui Hua. In Chinese medicine, it regulates the qi, it enters the liver channel, it enters the spleen, it's sweet, and it's slightly bitter, and it's slightly warm. It's really good for the vessels and the vascular system. It's great for regulating the menstruation. It kind of moves the liver qi and helps with the flow of blood and qi through the body. So it's really good for digestion, also like famous for belching and chest depression and kind of digestive disturbance.
Well, so, okay, these are some herbals and flowers and things. And I'm wondering, what would be some foods that you would want to gear us towards? You're really good at being complete with these ideas. I love it.
Foods that we're looking at. So any way that you can increase the bitter flavor is good. So I really love like endives or chicory or something like that. But the main thing that you're looking for this season, I mean, the summer season at your local farmer's market, I don't care where you are, it is magical and you should be there. And all you have to do is open your eyes and let your mouth water and you're going to see what's good for you this season, right? It's all in your area. It's the stone fruits, the peaches, the cherries, the nectarines, all enriching to the fluids and really offer us this bounty of minerals and all the different kinds of stuff. And they're special, right? It's only happening this season, typically. A lot of the summer fruits, we have the berries, right? The berries, which are so rich in antioxidants. And like we talked about, inflammation levels can go up in the summer as the yang increases and the heat increases. So balancing that by bringing in extra antioxidants is a really powerful medicine in your food.
So you're making it sound like the farmer's market is your local pharmacy. If food is your best medicine, farmer's markets are your pharmacy, if you are lucky enough to have one.
Yeah. And this season we get to have salad, which I'm always encouraging people to avoid. But you have your romaine lettuce, which has a little bit of bitterness, also nice crunch and water. The food this season can be lighter. We really want to avoid like heavy, greasy, rich food, right? That's going to weigh down our digestion or contribute to digestive distress. The other thing I'm seeing a lot in clinic is digestive distress, lots of diarrhea, foodborne illness. And so we can use a lot of food to help that. And if you notice that your digestion is feeling not great, of course, you know, my favorite thing, congee is always a healing food.
Right. Tell us what congee is. Let's back up and say, what is it? For those that don't know, the latest and greatest food.
Congee is grains that are cooked over a longer period of time with extra water. And what that does is as the grains are cooking, they're enriched in that water that you're cooking it with. So it's increasingly hydrating to the body. The most traditional and simple congees are just made with white rice.
Just white rice and water.
Yeah, very simple. You just cook basically like one cup of rice with 6 to 8 cups of water for about 40 minutes, and it'll get into this porridge-like consistency. So you can use congee, and then you can add things to the congee, seasonal components, to help it be more balancing for you now. So we talked last time a little bit about millet, which is also a really good choice now because it's cooling. If you're noticing some digestive distress, that's always just a really powerful fixer of that. Other than that, you're looking at your romaine lettuces, you're looking at some arugula in the garden right now, some stone fruits, melons, but things really light, really fresh. It's not hard to be inspired.
Right. And it's just so crazy to me. I still am in rebellion to this notion in traditional Chinese medicine that salad is only for summer. I mean, you and I live in Santa Barbara, California, and salads are on every menu all year round.
Yeah, all day long also. Like you could have eggs with a side salad and then have a salad at lunch and then another salad at dinner. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with a salad, but when we're talking about our digestive system, it doesn't like a lot of cold and it doesn't like a lot of damp. So we want to avoid the foods that contribute to that. But it's not always this warm, and the yang isn't always as strong all year long as it is right now. So you can have salad now because that's the case externally and internally. But if you eat a salad and you're like feeling like it's moving through you too quickly, or if you get a stomach ache, then you're like, that might be too cold for me right now. And I might have to like warm it or lightly saute or something along those lines.
I've heard of that actually, a cooked romaine. I've not done it, but I know a Chinese teacher that has a recipe for that.
One of my favorite things to do, because we do a lot of outdoor cooking in the summer, a lot of stuff on the grill, and then I'll do radicchio, which has a really nice bitter flavor. And then you can put the radicchio on the grill, wilt it a little bit, and then put some peaches and some basil, a nice shallot dressing, and some pumpkin seeds, and it's magic.
Yum! I'll take that. So we're in the Northern Hemisphere, and would these watch ideas, these notions about season, be flipped in the Southern Hemisphere?
Yeah, I think basically what we want to do is observe the nature that's around us at the time and recognize ourselves as natural beings, and that the best way to harmonize ourselves is to harmonize with nature. So if we're in winter, we might eat more warming foods. If we're in summer and that's what the climate is reflecting, then we may eat more cooling foods. So it's important to be responsive to where you are in your environment and also where you are in life.
Ah, so the seasons of life, which means maturity, aging, and all of that, which is such a brilliant. I'd like to do another deeper dive on that. But I also want to clarify something else, which is I've heard you say traditional Chinese medicine, and I've also heard you talk about East Asian medicine. Are they different? Are they the same?
When I was going to school, I got my master's degree in what was at the time called traditional Chinese medicine, and it's still called that. I feel that I very much practice that tradition that's based in specifically Chinese medicine, but I also have been trained in some Japanese techniques, some Ayurvedic techniques. And so it is more complete to refer to the whole system as East Asian medicine, because it's not always specifically Chinese. We draw on different traditions throughout that region. So I use them kind of interchangeably because I was originally taught with this one system. And now kind of as we learn and grow and evolve, come to understand a more maybe accurate portrayal of what we're speaking to.
More of a unified, combined, yeah, tradition. Okay, great. Well, now, you know, thinking about the yang makes me want to ask you about the Chinese zodiac, because we touched on for spring the idea that we came into the wood dragon year this year. So this is a wood dragon summer.
My daughter's 11, and one of the ways they describe things is extra. Like the dragon is just extra. So whatever season you're in is going to be a little extra. And the dragon is also very young energy. So that's going to even add to that young of this season. And also with the wood dragon, wood is the mother of the fire, right? So that is going to imbue this season with even more energy, more dynamic nature, more intensity. So we have to be even more attentive to the practices that help us to stay grounded, that help us stay connected. If we're taking this metaphor of ourselves as a little plant, keeping our roots connected to the earth, you know, and planted in the earth still. Because the tendency could be just to take a real wild ride on that dragon, especially come summer.
Well, and also I'm thinking about summer as we're moving into fall too. And this is an election year. And it just makes me think what you were just saying is really good advice for all of us to stay grounded, not get carried away with the summer, with the wood dragon energy. Be aware that we're maybe likely to get a little more liftoff and a little more chaos emotionally. So it makes me want to ask you, what do you want to share with us as we're moving towards the late summer transition into fall? Like, what are our watchwords? What do you want us to think about or do or transition into?
I think that's such a good point. And one of the reasons why we love these talks about the season so much and spending time in the garden and in nature is to remember it can feel like everything. You know, this season, this election, it can feel like everything. And we can be kind of coaxed and we can be inspired to give everything we have to this moment. And what we need to remember is that there are many seasons that will follow this one. So if we just abandon ourselves completely and deplete ourselves and don't stay connected and grounded to the nourishment that we need to sustain our blossoming, and then in the late summer, the fruiting, and then in the fall, the letting go, that there are these seasons throughout the year, we're going to have another growing cycle that's going to start again next spring. So we need to take care to be attentive to the practices that help us to stay grounded, that help our roots stay planted so that we have the strength, the stability, the commitment to carry on beyond just this one season, right? So for me, I've shared with you that I've gotten reacquainted with a sitting still meditation practice, which I hadn't done as much in recent years because kids and life and busy and work and all the things. I had maintained a meditation practice, but not a seated still practice. And that has been just so nourishing and really helped me to stay much more connected. And I fully intend to carry that through the election cycle to give yourself the time to be still, to be quiet, to hear the voice of your soul, of your spirit, to quiet down the noise a little bit and to return to the self. That's a really important practice. So I do that right now with seated meditation, and I love to do that first thing in the morning before life takes over to kind of regulate myself. And in my meditation spot, there's a little vine, a clematis. So it's like a little vine, and it has this incredibly beautiful blossom. It is so full, so rich. It's this deep, deep purple. It's gorgeous. And in the winter time, I remember my mom coming up and telling me, she's looking in the garden, she's a gardener too, and she's like, don't mess with that plant. It looks dead, but it's not. You won't believe what happens come spring and summer. And sure enough, in spring, the little leaves come out. And then in summer, these gorgeous blossoms. And the thing about it, when I was in my meditation, I opened up my eyes the other morning and I saw the blossom was so heavy that the vine couldn't stand up. The blooms were just weighing it all the way down and it was about to crack the stem. And so I had to go in and wind it around this support. And there's another vine and also a tree. And then a railing right there. So it loves to wrap itself around a railing. And I would just use that metaphor to kind of think of the summer and think of the intensity of the season and the fruiting to be like, we have to make sure and fill in our supports. So the answer is not to go like, well, blooming is too much and I'm not going to do it. That we still need to blossom in all of our fullness, in all of our color, in all of our richness. But we also need to make sure that all of our supports are in place so that we're supported in doing that.
What a beautiful notion that is. Thank you so much for all of these wisdom bits. I know a lot of study goes into your understanding of all of this. So thank you for making it so understandable, and it makes sense to me. So summer is about bitter. It's about joy. It's about making sure that we don't get overheated, and also just staying grounded in the middle of all of it.
That's so true.
Well, I want to thank you again for being with us, Minka Robinson, and we will talk to you next season.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been such a joy.
Yay. That's a wrap for today's episode of Regenerative Spaces. If you found this episode valuable or thought-provoking, share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'll keep the conversation going over on Instagram, so join me at Stacey Pellice and share your thoughts, questions, or suggestions for future episodes. I love hearing from you. And before we go, your support means the world to me. If you have a moment, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help us reach even more people looking to spark sustainable change in our world. Stay curious, stay inspired, and until next time, this is Stacey Pellice, and you've been listening to Regenerative Spaces.